Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
사랑하는 성도 여러분, Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 2,500 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, and viewing audiences. This is the 10th session of the message of the cross, and I will explain to you about the reason why Jesus was laid in a manger. The Lord died to redeem the sinners from their sins and opened the way of salvation for us by resurrecting on the third day and breaking the authority of death. He moved us from darkness to light, led us from the authority of the devil to the sight of God, and guided us from hell to the kingdom of heaven. Until he accomplished salvation, the whole life of Jesus was fulfilled by the providence of God, according to strict rules of the spiritual realm. He was killed for the sinners and was hung on a tree to redeem the sinners from the curse. And he shed his blood because there is forgiveness only by the shedding of blood. Moreover, from Jesus coming to this earth until his crucifixion, God's providence is embedded in each process. Jesus was born in a stable meant for an animal, was laid in a manger, and lived a poor life. When he was crucified, he was whipped all over his body, wore a crown of thorns on his head, and was nailed through his hands and feet. He was hung on the cross naked. The garment he was wearing was divided into four pieces by the Roman soldiers, and his tunic was taken by one soldier by casting lots. Also, he shed all his water and blood, being pierced in his side by a Roman soldier. God's providence is contained in each of these processes, and it is God's grace and favor and the providence to bless us. When we take the blessings with faith contained in His providence, we can enjoy those blessings in our lives. From today, I will explain the blessings God has given us through Jesus. I hope you will clearly understand the love of God the Father, who has given His one and only Son, and the love of the Lord, who has sacrificed His everything for the sinners. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will receive all the blessings that God wants to give us through the name of Jesus Christ and give glory to God from the depth of your heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, today's scripture talks about the birth of Jesus. The Virgin Mary, who bore Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, went to Bethlehem with her husband Joseph. At that time, all lodging in Bethlehem was full of people and there was no more room. So Mary gave birth in a stable of an inn. Because there was no place to lay Jesus who was wrapped in swaddling, he was laid in a manger, which is a vessel that contains the feed for animals. Normally, babies are born in a cozy room and laid on a comfortable bed. When we had no beds long ago, we placed thick blankets and laid newborn babies. But why was Jesus, the one and only Son of God the Almighty, born in a stable and laid in a manger? This is also God's providence to bless us. Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. When God tested men, they were no different than animals. Upon hearing this, some might wonder, why is it that men are like animals? But if you think about the evilness of man, it is often worse than animals. The predators like lions or leopards do not usually kill other animals unnecessarily unless they are hungry or their life is threatened. Also, even among the animals, there are some that do not change their mates for their entire life and will sacrifice themselves for their young. The dogs in your houses are faithful to their masters, and they too will sacrifice their lives for their masters sometimes. I hardly heard a dog betraying its master. But we men, the Lord of all creatures, betray other people so many times. But how about man, the Lord of all creatures? They engage in wars to fulfill their desires. They kill women, children, or sick people indiscriminately. It is difficult to find true love even among the families and neighbors. The divorce rate is constantly on the rise, and they fight, sue, or even kill between parents, children, and among brothers or sisters. If it is not beneficial for themselves, they betray their parents, teachers, or even old friends. Often we find people who return good with evil. People buy and sell other people, and sometimes they even sell their own children. Even young students form gangs and do things that we cannot even mention. In the news every day, we hear so many miserable things that are not even imaginable. Seeing all these things, we cannot say men are better than animals. Originally, God made man in His good and holy image. But after Adam's fall, men became sinners and they lost the good image of God. Their spirit died and they came to live only with soul and body. So they became like animals that have only soul and body. As their hearts were stained with more and more sins, following their lust and desires, they came to commit so many kinds of sins. How can a man like this, who became just like animals, enter into the holy kingdom of heaven? They can go into the heavenly kingdom only when they recover the duty of men and become God's children. The reason why Jesus came to this earth and was laid in a manger was to redeem and save the mankind who were no different than animals. John chapter 6 verse 51 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Man eating the bread that came down from heaven means keeping the word of God in their heart. The word came to earth in flesh. Just as our body can live only with food, our spirit can also live only with spiritual food. According to how well you digest spiritual food and accomplish it, you can go into spirit and the whole spirit for your soul to be prosperous. As your soul is prosperous, everything goes well with you and you are healthy. Jesus is the Word who came to this earth in flesh. Jesus, who is the Word, came to this earth and became the food of life for mankind who are like animals. Mankind could now recover their duty and the lost image of God. Jesus was laid in a manger to let us realize this fact. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, then, how can we get away from an animal-like life and gain true life? What is the way for us to do our duty and live as a man? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." It is said, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil." To keep God's commandments is to keep the commands recorded in the Bible, the Word of God. There are so many commands such as, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, do not envy, do not hate, do not get drunk, keep the Sabbath, keep your vows, avoid all kinds of evil, and cast off arguments. We should not do what the Bible tells us not to do and do what it tells us to do, keep what it tells us to keep and cast off what it tells us to cast off. To keep the commands in the Bible like this is to keep God's commandments. But there are many people who confess with their lips, "I believe in God, I fear God," but they do not keep God's commands. There are also people who teach God's words, but they themselves do not keep God's words. There are still other people who say, "How can we keep so many commands? It is too hard to be a Christian when they hear they should practice the words of the Bible." But God does not give us those commands to give us hard time. You may think it is hard, but while you are a new believer, it might be hard, but as you come into spirit, it is not hard. Also, those who have come into spirit do not feel it is hard at all, but rather they are happy. If you cast off evil and come into goodness, it is very easy to keep all God's commands. Even the parents in the world ask many things of their children. Study well, eat a balanced diet, be polite, keep yourself clean. Are these things to give a hard time to the children? Of course not. Parents ask these things for the benefit of their children. Only because you love your children, you cannot teach them saying things like, "Studying is difficult, so just play around. It is burdensome to clean the house, so just be dirty." You cannot say, for the convenience's sake, "You don't have to take shower every day, do it once in a couple of days. You can just wash your hands and feet once a day." Because you love your children, you say, watch out for the traffic. Look left and right and keep the traffic signals. Isn't this love of the parents? If you truly love your children, you should teach them to do the duty of man. Our God the Father also commands us to do the things that we should obviously do as men. What God commands us not to do is necessary for us not to have trials and tests and not to fall into hell. What He tells us to do is needed for us to receive blessings and answers, and finally go to the kingdom of heaven. He tells us not to do or cast off certain things so that we will not fall into hell. He tells us to do and keep certain things so that we will enter heavenly kingdom. He is telling us to recover the lost image of the Father. This way, we can also receive blessings or wealth and health and other blessings. Even your children obey your words if they love and trust you. In the same way, if you love God who has given us such great love and the Lord who was crucified for us, then it is not difficult for us to obey God's words. I hope you will realize the providence in the Son of God being born in a shabby stable and laid in a manger. This way, I hope you will fear God from the depth of your heart and recover the lost image of God completely. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and is the one with God the Creator. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, through Him all things were made, without Him nothing was made that has been made. John chapter 3 verse 35 says, the Father loves the Son, and has placed everything in His hands. Likewise, Jesus, who is the Master of all things, came to this wretched earth and was born in a lowly stable of an animal, leaving behind all the glory of the heavenly kingdom. Not only when He was born, but throughout His whole life, He lived a life in poverty. We have some rented house or other houses, but He did not even have a rented house. As said in Matthew chapter 8 verse 20, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He moved around here and there without any permanent home to preach the gospel and heal the sick. Sometimes He was thirsty, hungry, or tired, but He preached the word without resting. It is not that He did not have the ability to lead a rich life. Jesus made wine out of water and performed the miracle to feed more than 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, then taking up 12 baskets of what remained. Also, as He commanded, when Peter caught a fish, a coin was in the mouth of the fish. If He used His power for Himself, He could have led more than a rich life. But what is the reason that He led a poor life? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. The rich Jesus suffered poverty to give us the blessings of richness. Men did not have poverty from the beginning. When they were in the Garden of Eden, everything was abundant,
and the ground produced rich fruits, so they could just eat from the trees. But after Adam's fall, everything was cursed along with man, and the earth began to produce thorns and thistles, so that man could gain food by toil and sweat of their brow. The reason why mankind came to suffer from poverty is a curse that fell on them due to Adam's sin. Of course, being poor itself is not a sin, but it is still a part of the curse that fell on us due to Adam's sin. Therefore, Jesus redeemed men from their poverty by living in poverty himself, so that we would live in richness. Since poverty is not sin, our Lord did not have to shed his blood to redeem us from it. Instead, our Lord was born and lived a life in poverty to redeem us from poverty. But if it's sin, there must be shedding of blood. The wages of sin is death, and only by blood, sins can be forgiven. That is why our Lord, who had neither original sin nor self-committed sins, shed his precious blood. He wore the crown of thorns to forgive us of our sins committed in thoughts. He was nailed through hands and feet, was naked, and was whipped all over his body, and also shed all his water and blood by being pierced in his side to forgive us of all our sins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, but some people say it is not right to ask God for material blessings. But in the Bible, there are many promises that God will make us rich. Also, those who feared God and obeyed His words, such as Abraham, the patriarch of faith, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Daniel, led abundant and blessed lives. We should also be able to enjoy the blessing of richness by the grace of the Lord who has redeemed us from poverty. We can give glory to God when we are rich enough. If we say being poor, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will receive blessings, then what will the listener say? He would say, you receive blessings first. If you say being sick, you will be healed when you accept the Lord. They will say, you can be healed first. So you cannot give glory to God. Of course, we should not ask for our own desires, but only the glory of God. James chapter 4 verses 2-3 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You ask with wrong motives for your desires. God does not give to His children because they ask to fulfill their wrong motives. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So God does not give because asking with our lust is the way of death. That is why I always tell you to cast off all evil and come into spirit. If you come into spirit and your soul is prosperous, everything will go well with you and you'll be healthy. But then does this mean you cannot receive blessings before you come into spirit? Not at all. Although you are at the first, second, or the third level of faith, if you long for the spirit and are going into spirit, God gives you blessings. He gives you strength to go into spirit along with blessings. If you go into spirit, blessings will be given very quickly. If you go into the whole spirit, the blessings will be even quicker and greater. If you have faith, how will you spend your money after you receive financial blessings? You will not indulge in luxury, but help the orphans and widows, do missionary works, and build churches. You will use it for saving souls. You can give glory to God by receiving blessings, and you can offer back to God the blessings you received, so you can store up more rewards in the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew chapter 7 verses 7-11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? There are many words of blessings in both Old and New Testaments. Then did you keep those words in your mind? You should keep them in your heart so that you know how to receive blessings. For example, do you know, ask and it'll be given to you? Yes, you do. God will give you when you ask and pray. Also seek and you'll find. Then what is it to see? What do you have to seek? What will be given? You should know all these things. Knock on the door and it'll open to you. Then what kind of door do you have to knock? A house gate? What is the spiritual meaning of this door? Also, what will be open to us? You should know these things. Even if there are words of blessings, if you do not understand the meaning and contents, you cannot keep them. That is why I feel sorry. How many of you will be able to answer? They are very easy words, and you always listen to them, but if I ask, there won't be many of you who can explain these things. God's words are all words of blessings for our spirits to be prosperous and to lead us to New Jerusalem. But many times you just forget right after you hear it. As it says in Psalms, you meditate on the Word of God day and night. If you meditate on the three messages you listen every week, like what the instruction, the main contents, and the conclusions were, and keep them in your heart every week, soon you will see through the spiritual realm and you will gain strength to go into spirit. You will understand what spirit is and how you can go into spirit more quickly. Also, there are answers as to why you are sick and why you are not receiving blessings. In the Bible, there are rules and formulas for you to receive answers and blessings of wealth and health. This word is God. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It goes without saying that parents want to give their children what they desire. Our God the Father, who is full of love, also wants to give whatever His children ask with faith. But we cannot receive blessings just by asking God, "Father, bless me." There is a condition. For example, 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Most of you know this verse. You also know it is in the Bible. Many of you must have memorized this verse. Then, what should you do for you to be always prosperous, accomplishing things with unrestricted, smooth flow, and to be healthy? As said, just as your soul prospers, your soul has to prosper. Then you should know what it means by your soul prospers. You can search for the sermon tapes and listen to them. Just to know what it means by your soul prospers, there is a one-hour sermon. If I want to preach in detail, I have to explain it for many hours. So if you understand what it is for your soul to prosper and act according to it, you will be healthy and everything will go well with you. Here, the soul being well means recovering the lost image of God by living according to God's words in short. But in more detail, you should listen to a full one-hour sermon.
이제 자세하게 알게 되는 것이라 이 말입니다.
Also, Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2 says, All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Those who obey God's words this way will be blessed whether they come in or go out. They will lend and borrow from none. They will be the head but not the tail. They will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you try to reap without sowing, you are violating the law of God and mocking God. When farmers farm, if they sow beans, they reap beans. If they sow rice, they reap rice. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6-7 says, Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Even if the farmer has 100 acres of land, if he sows in only 10 acres, he cannot reap more than that. Even if you have great faith, you will reap much by sowing much. If you sow little, you can reap only little. But God does not only give what we sow. He gives us pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And as our soul is prosperous, 30, 60, or 100 times more. Also, if He has us reap after a long time, He gives us much more for the same amount we had sown than He would have given back to us earlier. It is like a bean sprout grows very quickly, but expensive fruits or ginseng has to wait for a long time until it can be harvested. Because bean sprouts grow very quickly, they are worth little. They are very cheap. Also, lettuce grows very quickly. I had lettuce yesterday. They were grown on the rooftop of my residence and also in the Galilee prayer house. They tasted similar. The fresh ones are more delicious, and old ones are not. When you go to the market, you should buy fresh ones. If they are bad, they turn red, and the stem becomes white. Then it is not delicious. In Galilee Prayer House too, lettuce grows very quickly. So they come up, and then they go bad quickly too. So we should take them and eat them when they are fresh. Those things, like bean sprouts that grow quickly, are cheap. Things like ginseng cost a lot because it takes many years to grow. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people feel sorry that they do not have anything to sow before God even though they want to give. But the rule that those who sow much will reap much is not about the amount or quantity of the offerings. It is not the money itself that God receives, but the aroma of our heart in it. God knows exactly with what kind of heart we give to Him, with how much love and faith. Mark chapter 12 talks about a widow who gave two small copper coins. Jesus was looking at the people who were putting offerings into the treasury, and when He saw the widow who gave two small copper coins, He praised her that she gave more than all others. He said, They, namely all other rich people, all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.
So, we can see that this widow gave so much when God looked at her heart. It was the case with the widow in Zarephath. She cooked bread with a little bit of flour and oil she had and gave it to Elisha. This was very minor in a physical sense, but it was as great as her life itself since she was going through a severe long drought. She wouldn't change this food with gold. God received this offering gladly and blessed her and her son so that their food did not run out until the drought was over. If you remember that God receives not the amount of your offering, but the aroma of your heart contained in it, you cannot say, "I am so poor that I don't have anything to sow." There are many testimonies of our members who have received blessings after offering to God with all their heart. Some of them had to rely on charity works for some time, but later they received so much in blessing that they now offer millions of won in tithes. One whom I know, he received monetary help from the church for 1 year. But now God opened the way of blessings for him, so he can now offer millions of won in tithes. Also, there is another one who received same help, sometimes having no money for transportation. But now, God began to bless him and now he can offer more than 1,000,000 won in tithe. When they sowed with all their faith and strength, even in difficult situations, God opened the way of blessings wondrously. It was the case with me too. I wonder who is now poorer than when I just accepted the Lord. When my wife and I earned together, we could only pay off our interest. We could not even think of paying back the principal. Just as God fed Elijah through a crow, before and right after I was healed, I did not have anything. I was not fully strong enough. And sometimes my wife's elder sister came and left some money with us. Sometimes 5,000 or 10,000 won at that time. She had pity on us. When I was not strong enough, God fed me that way. So I never skipped a meal. Then, I see God bless the person who sowed like that. Now she serves the church as a leader, being a senior deaconess, and all her family members are saved. Some testify that they offered their monthly income as a devotional service offering, and they had double of that amount as income next month. There are some others who sold their real estate, often at a much higher price than the market price, which had not been sold for a long time. Of course, he does not only give material blessings because you sow money. Even if he does not give you materially, the true blessing is the blessing of your soul. Because if your soul is well, everything will go well with you and you will be healthy. Cornelius, who feared God and helped the poor very much being a Gentile, received the blessing of his family's salvation through Peter the Apostle. A woman called Dorcas, who did many good works and charity works, died but was brought back to life by prayer. Both spiritual and material blessings are bestowed through Jesus Christ, not only on this kind of people, but also on everybody who sows with faith. I will conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences. Today, I told you about the providence of Jesus being laid in a manger and going through poverty. The reason why Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God, was born in a stable and laid in a manger meant for animals is that he became the food of life to the mankind who is no different than animals. By this grace of Jesus, we can fear God and keep His commandments so that we can live as a man. I am so grateful that after I accepted God and the Lord, I came to know the truth and live the life as a man. Had I not known this truth or accepted our Lord, I would have lived just like the worldly people. I would have got angry and would have been filled with dirty and ill feelings in my heart. But our God and the Lord let me cast off all those things. The word of truth and life made me born again and changed me to make what I am today. Also, the reason why Jesus, the master of all things, led a poor life on this earth was to make us rich. I hope you will realize this providence, recover the whole duty of man, and dwell within the grace of the Lord who redeemed us from poverty. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will receive both spiritual and material blessings and give glory to God greatly.
I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleansed with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones. And make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened. Darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.